but got the other one for you.
Wish I was rich as Mr. Young. Pay me my money down. Sit around and laze in the sun. Pay me my money down. Oh, pay me, pay me. Pay me my money down. Pay me or go to jail. Pay me my money down. One more time. Pay me, pay me. Pay me my money down. Pay me or go to jail. Pay me my money down. Thank you.
Well, Frog hopped through here a minute ago, and then he hopped out to see his lady friend. And it's time for him to be on the program, so he better come hopping here.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Frog Smith, one of the great folklorists of Florida. Give him a great big hand.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. She's an old friend of mine from way back, and neither one of us are spring chickens anymore. If we are, the spring's about run down. But we remember how things were in the old days. Cousin Thelma asked me to speak on discipline as it used to be back in the old days. Back in the old days, the caveman, he ruled his cave with an iron fist. You didn't dare talk back to Pa in those days like you do today. So if he come home dragging a bear or his next-door neighbor for cooking, for supper, his wife had to get busy and start cooking. The bear or the neighbor, either one, didn't matter. And he ruled his cave with a fist. Back then, it was vine. But there's plenty of descendants of his living today who would bet him their wife he couldn't do the same in his household. But back in the old days, used to, when a person told a child to do anything, if he didn't do just like he was told to do, well, they can think he'd been sitting on a mustard plaster. Today, the children, though, make the parents' ears burn in court. And I haven't got too much to say this morning because, you know, I was controlled pretty rough myself. I know what a paddle is. We use peach tree switches. We use black gum switches. Of course, us boys would ring them when they'd break in school, but we got the butt end of them just the same. And back in the old days, we used a razor strop. I couldn't get a hold of a razor strop to bring because they've gone out of style with the safety razors. Well, that was the greatest weapon that a parent ever had, was that razor strap. And we used them back then, but now they're all gone, and since the beatniks are taking over, why, there's no use for them, whatever. And the hippie's going to do away with the razor strap altogether, it looks like, but I believe some of them look better with the face hid behind the beard. But there used to be a man down here in Florida, he whipped his children so much with a razor strap, until he just ruined the strap. He got too much of this Florida sand beating into that cowhide strap that he couldn't sharpen a razor on it. He ruined his razor.
So he looked around for something else to whip the razor up and get it really sharp with it. And so the only leather he could find that was smooth was the old family milk cow. He went out and chopped his razor on the family cow, and he shaved that cow so close he had brought beef steak and cream bacon before the cow was bitten.
To goodness, Suwannee River product. She lives on an island in the mouth of the Suwannee, and she works every day of her life. Tell them about it.
How do you do, folks? I lived at Suwannee River on that island now for 57 years. It almost seems like home. I have reared seven children there. Biggest portion of them have finished high school. Some of them went to college. Some of them's teaching, some of them's housekeeping, some of them's raising children. So there you go, all the way down the line of life. You know, you never know when you have a child what really he's going to make before he leaves his old country. So let's try to do our best for them and give them something they can make their living with if it lays in our power. We have fishing down there, some nice fishing, good fishing. You can go saltwater fishing, go freshwater fishing. It doesn't make much difference, just what you choose. Just get in your boat. If you want to go outside, go on outside. If you want to go up the river, come go up the river. And it's nice fishing. It's pretty scenery and everything there. I really think it's really beautiful, but other folks may not think that. We have gators, we have snakes and all sorts of things down there, you know, but not on the island. I've never seen a rattlesnake on the island since I've been there. We have a moccasin and old white oak snakes or chicken snakes, I call them. Oh, they're hateful. They'll get into the chicken nest and eat up your eggs and your little bitties and everything. One night, my daughter and I were sitting sewing, and she was sewing there, and she had the scissors. We heard an old hitty bitty cutting up out there. She gets up and she goes out there, and there was a snake crawling over a bitty. She just reached in there and cut his head off with the scissors. You may think that's a joke, but it's the truth. Y'all come talk to me. Her husband is buried on the island, and his tombstone says, rightfully so, King of the Suwannee River. Just as she is queen of the Suwannee. Let's give her a great big hand. Grandma Odlin, widow of Eric Odlin. Now, let's welcome Zeke and Rosa from up Panama City way.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I present to you one of the world's rare gourd violins. There's another one in the world.
Speak out. It.
I play to you a couple of Steve Forster's most beloved melodious pieces. I start off way down upon the Suwannee River. I play my old Kentucky home.
One moment, please. All right. With great joy, we present the Lee H. Edwards School of Champion Square Dancers from Asheville, North Carolina, with Leroy Briggs as their leader. The Bluegrass Rebels will accompany them. Georgia and North Carolina, isn't that wonderful? Together, the band or the dancers. But you see, music and feet were meant to be together. They were made for dancing. These children are the champions of the Asheville North Carolina Mountain Youth Jamboree, and we are truly honored to have them. Now, this little sprawl here is the beater that Rosa Stevens was using when Zeke was fiddling. She was doing the traditional old beating of the straws, and that was done for dancing when all they had was the gourd fiddle or a fiddle, and this helped to amplify the music and beat out the time. Now, it's a great pleasure to present again the Wiggins sisters, and their father, John, made this instrument. It is a dulcimer, a traditional old instrument. I think it's remarkable that he made it. He added another set of strings to it to make it more versatile. Betsy tuned it. Mama helped tune it. And they learned to play it. The Wiggins sisters of Bradenton.
They wrote the words to this song, and it's called The Green Grass of Shiloh.
Sing low, my sorrow, weep no more for me. The green grass of Shiloh is growing over me. The earth is thy sweet grass, the soft wind is thy song.
Encore, Betsy.
Well, we'd like to do an old Bohemian folk song. It's called Good Night, Beloved. And we were going to do it at a night, you know, sometime at night. But just pretend that you're a little child and your mother's singing you this song.
Sweet be the dreams of your song.
The dulcimer is sometimes played with oak withes bent. Betsy prefers to pluck it as Bob Beers does. Now, let's welcome to the microphone Eugenia Cicini from Orlando.
I'm going to sing a song that I first heard sung by Mrs. Beers of the Beers family. And I loved it, so I learned it. It's called The Water Is Wide. The water is wide, I cannot get over, and neither have I wings to fly, but give me a boat that will carry two, and both shall.
Let us welcome the Organic Dancers from Fairhope, Alabama, the Marietta Johnson School of Organic Dancing. And they have charmed us all day yesterday, and they'll charm us again today. And I wanted to tell you that at the piano is Mrs. Charles Ingersoll. Let's give her a fine hand for the job she's doing.
In the Marietta Johnson School of Organic Education in Fairhope, Alabama, folk dancing is a part of our curriculum and is approved under state requirements to qualify for credits in physical education. This morning we will be doing all English dances. First, The Blue-Eyed Stranger, an English Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico, the conquistadors of the DeSoto celebration, Bradenton, Florida. Hernando de Soto, Ed Kirchhoff, will be the narrator. Connie.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce our Padre Jerome Davis. Padre Davis.
I would like to introduce to our Queen, Miss Vicki Tarver. And our Captain, Mr. Bill McKinney. Patris, the Spirit, the Spirit of Sanctus. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the DeSoto Historical Society of Bradenton, we appreciate being invited to your wonderful festival. They asked me if I wouldn't tell you some of the history of Hernando de Soto. As you know, he landed on our shores on May the 30th, 1539. He was one of the first of the expeditions to ever penetrate the interior of the United States. Yet this man, the only credit was ever given him was the discoverer of the Mississippi. His maps and all that he had left after the expedition in which he died and was buried in the Mississippi River, the survivors of the expedition carried back the maps. And those maps were the maps that the English and the French used to come to this country and to and what makes our country what it is today. Because this is one of the things that has never been accredited to him. As you know, he landed in our vicinity down around Bradenton and Manatee County. It's very controversial with most historians exactly where he landed. But in 1936, when he was having the Pan American Expedition in Tampa, the governor appropriated money to have a memorial put somewhere in that vicinity to Hernando de Soto. They sent Dr. John Swanton from the Smithsonian Institute there to see where he could find that would be the most logical place for this memorial to de Soto. And after a search of about 4 years and searching through the four original books that was written by the survivors of the expedition, he put this landing spot at the mouth of the Manatee River. And after he landed there, he stayed in that vicinity approximately 4 months, And then he started north. He traveled through Dade City, through Ocala, and up through this vicinity before he turned west, where he had his first Christmas in Tallahassee. But this man, after 4 years of traveling through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, back down into Alabama, and down around Mobile when he fought his fiercest Indian battle and he lost everything they had. And that was a time that his expedition almost failed because most of the soldiers, they wanted to go back to the coast to meet the ships to go back to Havana. But in finding out what their intentions were, he turned north. And he went back up through Alabama, over into Mississippi, and into Arkansas. And after he left Arkansas, he was starting south again to go back to the coast when he contacted some of them says pneumonia or whatever disease it was. He died and he was buried in the Great River. But to us in Manatee County, I do actually think that he should be given a lot more credit in our history than has been given him. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Padre. I would like to introduce our other crew members. Let me move over to a side here where you can see them. Just a moment. First of all, I would like you to meet our drill team sergeant, Sergeant Wynn Durbeck. Our next conquistador is Robert Scheffler. Next is Sergeant Ed Eason. Art Campbell, George Holliba, and coming down this side, we have Bill Garland, Dan Zoller, Dr. Joe Wright, and Mike Toth. Let me just take a couple of moments here to tell you people how happy we are to be here. Vicki, come over here. I have such a beautiful queen, I want everybody to be able to see her. We have had a great time together in this respect that we just recently got back from opening the Spanish museum, or pavilion, I should say, at the Hemisphere in San Antonio, Texas. We were very privileged in being the honor guard for the Spanish Minister of Tourism and Information, Senor Fraga. 2 weeks ago, we were in Miami at the Miss Florida Universe contest and had the privilege of crowning Florida's entry in the Miss Universe contest. Jerome Davis has been our padre for 10 consecutive years. He does a magnificent job. He's very dedicated, and I feel very honored. He's told everyone that this is his last year. I feel very honored as being Hernando de Soto this year that he would serve with me, and I thank him very much from the bottom of my heart. Let's give him a big hand. The man on my far right over here, Captain Bill McKinney, is our crew captain, and without him, you couldn't do anything. He has the responsibility of our crew. Incidentally, we have 35 men in our crew. We couldn't bring them all up here. We all grow beards. I want you to know this. None of these are fake. I'm the only one here with one, except some people in the audience. But we couldn't keep our beards for this celebration, unfortunately, because the men come from all walks of life. We have doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and bottle washers and everything else that you can think of. Our celebration is comprised of two.
The young lady who follows this colorful pageant is eminently suited to do it. Let us welcome Liz Getz Ebert, from Atlanta, Georgia, but from up above the Mason-Dixon line, I think. We met her at the Beers Folk Festival at Fox Hollow, and we liked her. And we're glad she's living in Georgia and can come down and join us and sing for us.
Thank you very much, Thelma. It's very nice to be here. This is my first year to attend the Florida Folk Festival, and so far it's delightful. The setting is very, very beautiful, and everybody seems to be very, very warm and friendly. I'd like to defend the female instrumentalist for a very short little thing that I'll do on the 12-string guitar. It seems like all the fellas are always doing the instrumental solos. So I thought I would begin by doing a little thing that I call measuring the strings. One time in the northeastern part of the country, there was a group of people who banded together because they had the same kinds of ideas. They called themselves the Shakers. And that doesn't mean the rock and roll kind of shaker. These people had many good ideas, invented a number of things that we use today. For example, the common clothespin was invented by the Shakers. The flat broom was also invented by the Shakers. And many, many other things. They made bent wood furniture, which we prize today in our antique collections, and so on. They also had some very wonderful philosophies. They were made fun of by the masses, as it seems every minority group and our country seems to be made fun of by the masses. If you're a little bit different, you're weird, you know. So anyway, they had some part of their celebration, their religious celebration, was to bow and to bend and to turn around. And they felt that by moving their bodies in these different positions, they became closer in their religious worship to their God. Well, this was made fun of because, you know, who doesn't kneel? Everybody kneels, you know. If you bow and bend, that's kind of strange. They also had a philosophy which is expressed in the song that I'm going to sing to you this afternoon, which said that it is a gift to be simple, it's a gift to be free, and it's a gift to come down where we ought to be. It seems that in these days where we are keeping our minds on things like material possessions and wearing all kinds of sharp clothes and so on and so forth, that we tend to forget about things that are simple, like walks in the woods, like sitting in a rocking chair and thinking. Simple things.
Tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and
Thank you. Now, let's welcome the Orlando Cloggers, the Orlando Recreation Department, with Jim Harness as their caller. Hooray for the band. Let's...
Cracker, when I was coming up, you had to get a shirt bucket lid,
a
short stick, drive a nail in the shirt bucket lid and get it where it'd turn on the stick and push it down a wagon rut for entertainment. So I'm talking about Florida crackers, and an old timer, I've been around about 50 years or so. That's the reason I had to do something entertainment to learn these calls and things for entertainment back in those days. I didn't have cars and things, just an old wagon to ride in. This comes in handy in my hunting, too, is a duck's. While I'm out camping in the Everglades during hunting season, I keep the fellas up at night. It doesn't bother me too much, but it does them. And I'm sure a lot of you Florida crackers and Georgia crackers can recognize a hoot owl. On television, you have the peacock. It's a beautiful bird, but he wouldn't be too much to have around your house, because I know if any of you's ever been around where they are, they're quite noisy. The next is a crow. Most farmers hate them. They're pests and aggravating. I have one for a pet, and they can talk quite a bit. In other words, you'd think a crow of all birds would not be able to talk, but he can talk certain words and sentences as good as a parrot can. Going over to the animal side of it, and I hope the game wards are not too close around, because you call up an alligator, he's a vicious-looking animal, and it's about as harmless a thing as we have in Florida. Unless you catch a hold of him and don't know how to do it, he will not harm you. And I've called up a lot of them in my lifetime. Noticing the snakes on the program a while ago, it's quite amusing what guys will do hunting in the woods and such things. But you can walk up back of a guy, and I talked about the snakes a while ago, they're harmless. But this one I'm going to kind of give you a sample of. You can walk up behind a guy, I've had him to throw a 30-aught, a year or two ago, one guy threw a 30-aught six up in the air. He doesn't have time to say what was it. He's gone. Diamondback. So, you know, when they make a racket, why, time to move. I wonder how many farmers around here has been woke up early in the morning by this call. I'll go out early in the morning. It's cool weather, fall of the year. We've got frost on the ground. Reach over in a pen like this to get a hold of one of these.
This is one of you.